Go to 2 Corinthians. Go through 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's start off immediately the word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 7. Say with me again. Say fasting. So, fasting. I'm gonna strain my voice this morning, but I'm just going to push it a little bit that I can get the sound out or hear myself. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. I'm going to read just a principle of fasting, and then I'll get to the scripture of fasting. Listen to this. Paul is saying, but we have this treasure. Well, let me read. I want to read out of the Amplified. Put in the Amplified version for us. Amplified version. It says, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel in frail human vessels of the earth, and the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be the shown be from God and not be from us. The power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. We are hedged and pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer persecution and are perplexed, unable to find a way, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard-driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out to be destroyed. Always carrying about the body, the liability, and the exposure to the same of putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. I want to stop there and I want to read that again slowly. And the sound is so much echoing and it's very low frequencies. And I don't know if there's anybody that knows something with sound, if they can assist. Let me just read it. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Go to the New King James, just verse 10 for you quickly. This is where I want to get on the fasting principle. It says, listen, we are persecuted, we are perplexed, struck down, but not destroyed. Then he gets to verse 10. And he says, always carrying about in the body. Say with me, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ, the life of Jesus, also be manifested in our body. In the Amplified, they say, always carrying about in the body the liability and the exposure to the same, putting to death the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. For we who live, next verse, guys, follow me on the Amplified. These guys are not following me on the scriptures. Follow me on the Amplified, please. When I say Amplified, go to Amplified. When I say New King James, New King James. I just read a whole verse out of the Amplified. That's right. Thank you. It's verse 11. For we who live are constantly experiencing being handed. You see, while I'm preaching, I'm constantly experiencing and being handed over to death because of the sound and the scriptures. So when I switch to New King James, change to New King James. When I switch to Amplified, change to Amplified. Without me asking, I'll just say thank you. For we who are live constantly experiencing being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. Put in the New King James version for me. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So there's something called the fasting principle. Say within the fasting principle. I'm going to strain my voice, but it's okay. Fasting principle, meaning that the moment that I die to myself or I bring some kind of death in my body, there must be resurrection life. Are you guys with me? There must be resurrection life that comes forth out of my body. Say with me, my body. It says manifested in our mortal flesh. Fasting is a way on how to kill the body. Are you guys with me? Fasting is a way on how to align your spirit. Fasting is a way on how to clean your heart. But it aligns you spiritually to receive from God. Are you guys with me? We're going to get into some points and principles now. So let's go on verse 12 in New King James. So then death is working in us. But he says, but life in you. So he says there's a fasting principle. That even as a minister, as we are dying, as we are fasting. And he's speaking of persecution, I understand that in that context, but I'm putting the fasting principle. He's speaking of death that is coming to him so that life can be in those whom he ministers to. A church that is not persecuted is a church you don't want to sit in. Because you will only get death while they're getting life. But a church that is being persecuted, constantly there's fights against the church, or there's things that are being said, or there's gossip going around, but there's a persecution or a slight persecution. It means that life is being ministered to you. This is a principle, a scriptural principle. Are you guys with me? That's why Paul says, rejoice with me while I'm in chains. Be associated, be accounted with me in chains, and rejoice that you can be counted among those who are being persecuted. You know, in persecution, we all run and cry. Yet the Bible says, rejoice when you're being persecuted. Blessed are those who are being persecuted. Be joyful in your fiery trial, because your faith is being strengthened and your faith is being tested to be as genuine as gold. Are you guys with me? I'm still battling, eh? Like none of my words are going through, guys. My voice is gone. So it's really, I don't know how to get you guys to get the sound sorted. We have weeks in between, but my voice is gone because I have to push just to hear myself. The gift cannot work if I cannot hear myself. So where were we? Verse 12. Let's go to verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with him and will present us with him. It's a little bit better on the stage, like 10% better on the stage. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread. Go through to verse 16. Let me go to verse 16. I want to give you the fasting principle, little things that fasting does for you. Then I want to get into the 10 types of fasts. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Yet the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed. So though my outward man is taking beatings because I choose to deny my body of foods, to deny my body of certain pleasures, it is taking a beating. Are you guys with me? But there's a renewal in my spirit that is taking place. Meaning that my spirit is being renewed, my spirit is being refreshed. I want to say this. Fasting is the most powerful prayer you can pray. Are you guys with me? Fasting is the most powerful prayer that you and I can pray. In fact, you have three realms. You have those who believe, then you have those who pray, and then you have those who fast. Those who believe can believe for something, then those who pray put action to their faith. But then those who fast make their prayer powerful. There's a prayer that cannot be answered unless it is being fasted with. Jesus said, this kind does not come out. He was speaking of a demon, but he was also speaking in the context of faith. And he said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Are you guys with me? Meaning that there's a faith that the Lord has put in you. There's a faith that He has even deposited in you. A faith to move mountains. That it cannot come out unless you apply prayer and fasting. That faith cannot come out to deal with a demon. It cannot come out of you to deal with moving a mountain. This was in context of Jesus speaking about moving the mountains. And he said, listen here, there's a God kind of faith in you. There's a moving mountain. There's a faith for the impossible, as we call it. which is comes out only by prayer and fasting. Are you guys with me? So let's go on. Verse 16. Oh, sorry. Yeah, verse 16, where we were. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Next verse. For our light affliction, so a light affliction, is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Fasting will give you spiritual weight. It will increase your capacity to carry the glory of God. Are you guys with me? It is a light affliction that you're going through right now. And what are we doing? We're preaching fasting messages to build up within a week from now, I believe. Within a week from now or two, we're going to be start fasting for 1 week before our Pentecost conference. We are still fasting 1 day a week on a Wednesday, 24 hours. Some can do it no food. Some can do it no food, no water as they feel led. But don't just do it one meal. Do it 24 hours. And you will see God doing a lot of things. But especially once we go into the 1 week fast, you're going to see things happening. So he says that, say with me, a weight of glory. So there's a capacity about you that is increasing. The moment you are fasting, I'm going to get to a few benefits of fasting right now, and then we're going to get into the types of fasting. Let's go to verse number 18. For a while, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Fasting will open your spiritual eyes, so that you don't look at the things which are seen, but you look at the things which are not seen. You know, Paul and them had two ways to deal with a body. They had a way where they are literally being persecuted, and the principle of fasting would kick in because their body would go through death, and then life would be there. And then they applied fasting. In today's days, we don't have persecution, but we have to even the more apply fasting. Are you guys with me? This is why they had so much power, because they were beaten by rods. Their body was, the moment the body is being put to death by Jesus Christ, the anointing pours out of you. That's why the Western church don't have much anointing or much revival, because their body is not going through death. That is why it is imperative to bring fasting in. If the modern day believer can just understand the power and the atomic power that fasting will bring to you. It will make you from a normal believer to a supernatural believer. It'll have you, give you the ability to deal with demons, to deal with healing. It opens up your spiritual pipes to let there be no clogging in them, and for the power of God to flow through. It increases the capacity of what you can carry with the power of God. These are things that fasting will do for you. It'll clean your spiritual antenna that you can hear God more accurately. Are you guys with me? It will clear the density of your life and the toxins that comes out of your body, so that you can feel the presence of God more closely. Go there to Matthew 6, verse, let's see where to go. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, say when I fast. So it's not an if or, you know, some people will say, you know, I will go into a fast when the Lord leads me. You will never go into a fast. So I'm going to explain the different types of fasts. Now, there's only one fast that the Lord leads you in. That is supernatural. All the other fasts are natural fasts. We call it natural fasts. It is fasts that I choose by my own will. I am going to fast. So he says, when you fast, don't say when the Lord is leading you to fast. There's one fast that God leads us into, but I'll get into right now. But fasting is natural in the majority. So it says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18, I want to get to this, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place. Say with me, who is in the secret place. Just give me just the piano, not the guitar, guys. Not the guitar sound. Just the piano. Give me string sound. Say with me, in the secret place. It says, so that your Father who is already in the secret place, with the moment that you fast, your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. I want you to catch this, just that one. Now let me jump to somewhere else. I want to show you something. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I want to get to another verse just quickly. Yes, yeah. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 6, or verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. Listen to this. Now, remember what I said, where your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now listen to this, next verse. But you, when you pray, go into your room. So they go into your room. Please understand this. Prayer is required to have gone into a room called the secret place. And when you have shut the door, pray your Father who is in the secret, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. Now when you go in, you must even pray that God will reward you openly. But fasting, he doesn't say go into a room. He says the moment you are fasting, you already put into the secret place. That where you move is the secret place. Because your Father sees what you are doing in secret, and he will reward you openly. So wherever you are walking or wherever you are going, he looks and he sees that you're the secret place. But now, if God lives in the secret place, and when you are fasting, you're always in the secret place, it means you are constantly where God is. When you're going to your work, God is with you. When you're going somewhere else, God, you are constantly in the atmosphere and the location of God. Fasting changes your location, your spiritual location, and it puts you in the secret place. Wherever you go, you become a secret place. Are you guys with me? So say with me, fasting. Let's get a little bit into, I want to just touch on a few benefits of fasting and then get into some 10 types of fasting so that we can be done by 10 o'clock. And listen to this, benefits of fasting. What does fasting do for you? Say with me, fasting changes me. Say it again, say fasting changes me. It doesn't change God, it changes me. Let me say it like this. Fasting doesn't change God, but fasting moves God. I'm going to say it again. Fasting doesn't change God, but fasting moves God. How can I say, but it moves God? The Bible says that Cornelius was fasting. And he was doing prayer and fasting, and his prayers and fasting and giving went up before the throne of God as a memorial, as a statue. And the Lord looked at the statue, and immediately he began to answer prayers, and he moved on their behalf. Why? Fasting was in the midst. Cornelius fasted, plus he prayed, plus he gave. It's a threefold cord. And those of you that are being discipled, you know the threefold cord. It's the prayer of, it's the cord of fasting, praying, giving. 90% of, or 95% of Christians only do two out of the three. They never do three out of the three. And they wonder, but why is my cord broken? Why am I always feeling discouraged or feeling down or feel like I'm being backslidden? Are you guys with me? So fasting, number one, changes us. Number two, fasting moves you into a position with God that is better. It aligns you in a better position. Are you guys with me? So fasting aligns you with a better position. Number three, say with me, fasting increases my spiritual capacity. To each one, the Bible says, faith is given. To each one sitting here, some might have a little bit, some might have a little bit more. But to each one, a measure, a set measure of faith has been deposited into you. It is your duty to begin to stretch and train that faith and to stretch that grace, but that your capacity will increase. So the Bible says, prophesy according to your faith. Prophesy according to your level of, your the measure of the faith that has been given to you. Meaning, don't try to prophesy like somebody whose faith is at 80% and your faith is at 5%. Meaning, your gifts can only operate and can only move and be activated by the measure of the faith that is in you. If he says, prophesy according to your faith, according to the measure of faith that you have. That means pray for the sick according to the measure of the faith. Work in the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to the measure of the faith. So, but wait, if my faith is increased, now my gifts will begin to increase in capacity. But he's saying Christians cannot do what I've called them to do because their faith levels are low and their capacity is small. You can have a 50,000 liter water tank, but you can have a small thin tube coming out of there. And it doesn't matter how big that tank is and how much power it is able to give and how much water it is able to give at one time. Even a stream or a waterfall or a rush of water, you can only get a little pipe. Some pipe closes and it just drips. And it doesn't matter how much pressure there is. The vessel cannot carry it. The conduits cannot transport it. Are you guys with me? So fasting increases the conduits of your life, of your spirit man, that carries the power of God. So God is saying, I want to use people to change a nation. Or I want to use somebody to change a city. I have a calling on this one for them to go into nations. But they love food too much. And the devil puts food in their stomach too much. Are you guys with me? All over Christianity, even in Christian beliefs, if you look at right from the book of Genesis, you see the practice of fasting coming in. We see fasting as early as Genesis already, right through, almost in every book of the Bible, almost in every book there's fasting depicted and explained right up until the New Testament. And we see this practice of fasting. Why? Fasting takes that conduit and that pipe and it unclogs those pipes. It removes filthiness, messiness of those pipes, so that when God wants to use you, there is no hindrance or limitation. It is like the power flows unreservedly through you. Are you guys with me? But the devil loves making people eat. Everyone that eats, because listen, I explained to you that food is dense and food makes you drop more into the natural and it pulls you away from the spiritual. So there are four appetites. There's the spiritual appetite. There's the hunger appetite. There is the sexual appetite. And then there is the greed appetite. Four appetites. The spiritual appetite, the hunger appetite, the sexual appetite, and the greed appetite. Now, I have to be hungry for God. And I have to have a spiritual appetite to begin to go into fasting. And fasting, the first thing it begins to feed is my spiritual appetite, and it removes it. in a way of where I'm now being spiritually satisfied. Then number two, what does it deal with? The hunger appetite. So the second thing that begins to go is that my desire for food begins to go away. After that, my desire for sex begins to go away. That's why I say to people, you can never overcome sexual sins unless you have the ability to fast on food. Are you guys with me? And then the fourth one is the appetite of greed. Meaning it is the hardest one to deal with. This is the one Jesus dealt with a 40-day fast. Where the devil took him up on a pinnacle and said, look, I can show you the kingdoms of the world. And everything that your eye sees, I will give it to you. Just bow to me. What is it coming? It was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, every test that he was tasted with. Are you guys with me? So we see how greed, the power of greed is so strong, it requires, according to scripture, a 40-day fast to break the power of the hold of possessions and greed, the worry that people have in their lives. What am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to drink tomorrow? How am I going to clothe myself next month? What is going to happen to my job? If that is one of your worries, there's a certain fast for you this morning. Are you guys with me? So fasting deals with this four appetites: spiritual appetite, hunger appetite, a sexual appetite, and a greed appetite. The moment you deal with all of those things, you get to a place where you have overcome in this life. It is now where you will see the resurrection power of God moving through you. So God is saying, I want to use this person. I want to use that one. But the devil makes them love food too much. They eat before church. They eat after church. They eat during a prayer meeting. The devil makes them love food too much. And food makes a person, I know it might not sound like how many, you know, usually people will manifest during this time. Online only. Food makes a person sin because it is a fallen thing. How can I say it? It is something that we require in this world to keep our fallen bodies going. So it is one of the greatest ways to sin. The Bible says that, you know, it speaks about in the New Testament those who just want to get their bellies full, and that they would preach the gospel just to get their bellies full. And we see that Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Does it say, out of your belly will flow food? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That is why water is so important when it comes to fasting. Are you guys with me? Water has the ability to remove every toxin out of your body. It is imperative that I'm very strongly believe on water. It is very strong because it removes everything, and it goes with the principle that waters, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. So God wants to use your belly. He wants to use your womb. Your stomach is the womb of your spirit. So when I deny it of its natural lusts, I can grow the womb of my spirit, which speaks of my capacity that is increased. Are you guys with me? So number four, fasting breaks habits and spiritual bondage. If you have any habit, even if you're smoking, any habit, just fast for 14 days or 10 days even, and you'll see that habit being broken. You'll see all of a sudden the desires and the appetites of the flesh is gone, and you will have an appetite towards the things of the Spirit, and you'll have a desire towards the things of the Spirit. And you'll say, but I'm so in love with God, I just want to feel His presence. When you fast, you become sensitive to His presence. You can sit in your room, you can just lift up your hands, and He's immediately there. In fact, you can be anywhere, and you can just begin to sense Him, and He is there. Are you guys with me? Fasting brings you close to God. Fasting doesn't bring God close to you, it brings you close to God. Are you guys with me? Then the fifth thing is fasting quiets the heart, the mind, and the spirit. You see, every time a person eats, their mind moves into a digestive operation. So their mind is occupied to digest the food that is in their body. But the moment there's no food anymore in the body, the mind doesn't have to do anything. So now the mind is freed completely. That is why when a person fasts, usually after the 7th, 8th day or even 10th day, they'll find this mental clarity coming to them. They'll sit at work and they'll realize, but it feels like I can do anything. It is because the mind is not preoccupied by other digestive systems or how to operate with the body and sicknesses and disease and things that came in here by food or came in, and you get this mental clarity, and now your mind is not so occupied. You can hear of God. You can hear His voice so clearly because you're not occupied. It's like you just, your spiritual antennas is out there and you can pick up the voice of God so quickly. Are you guys with me? You open the Word, you read one verse, God speaks to you. So those are the five things. Are you guys with me? Let's get into the 10 different types of fasting. I want to go quickly through them. I know Pastor Martin touched on one last week. Say with you the Jesus fast. But I like to use another name for it. It's called the ministry fast. The ministry. Say with you the ministry fast. Most people, before they go into full-time ministry, they will do a 40-day water fast. Are you guys with me? There's no condemnation. Okay. That's why some are there and some are not. I'm joking. Don't go do a fast now just to be in full time. No, but when you go into ministry, God will usually lead somebody into a 40-day water fast. We see it in Scripture. We see Jesus, before Jesus started His ministry, 40-day water fast. I did a 40-day water fast, and the Lord launched me from there into ministry. I was on day 38, and to whom I believe was the Lord, stood in my room. I was only allowed to see His feet and going up His waist. And then I was not allowed to see up from the body upwards. But it was feet that was shining with the glory of God so brightly. People can say, an angel, I've seen angels. It wasn't the same. And, you know, I believed it was the Lord. And as I looked, wanting to look into His face, I was translated into a vision instantly. And as I was in this, not say a vision, a trance, as I was in this trance, and trances is very scriptural, and it is done by the Holy Ghost. When Peter fell into a trance, it was done by the Holy Spirit. So I went into this trance, and the Lord showed me a vision of my whole ministry. And He showed me things that will happen and things that I must do and things that I must do even to lay down and to get into ministry, everything step by step. And the moment, and that was on the 38th day of fasting or so, I remember walking out of that encounter into a church meeting where I was ministering, and the power of God fell on everyone, even the back where I was walking into, because I had residue. If Jesus appears in your room, you're not the same after that. Your eyes will shine with fire. The Bible says, as He is, so are we. The moment you see His face, what does fasting do? It opens your eyes to begin to behold the Lord. I'm not saying you're gonna get a visitation from Him. I'm just saying it is a good way towards it. Are you guys with me? And I did a 40-day water fast, and the Lord took me from there into ministry. It wasn't 6 months after that we were in ministry. When I say ministry, full-time, our own ministry. I know some that came on here with ministry did 40-day water fasts before they went into ministry. And if they didn't, they will start tomorrow. And so It is what we call the Jesus fast. It is the ministry fast. We see Matthew chapter number 4 verse 1. I want to go quick. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards He was hungry. Certainly He was hungry. That means He had water to drink. A lot of people think Jesus fasted water also. No, He didn't. He only fasted food for 40 days. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, they would have said that He thirsted. Otherwise, the devil would have tempted Him with water. So the devil tempted Him with bread. So He went on a 40-day water fast, if I may say it like that. He still drank water, but He was not eating any food. And the fact that it says Jesus hungered means that it was kind of like, it's a natural thing. A lot of people think that when you fast, you're not be hungry. The Lord will just take you into it. It's nonsense. Okay. It's really a lot of nonsense. There is a supernatural fast, which I'll explain now. where the Lord will take you, in which this is one of them. But it is not like you go in and there's just no, you know, I've been with some spooky people that like, I don't even feel hungry. I'm sitting next to them, I'm like, I'm starving. Because they're like, no, the Lord is leading. When the Lord leads you, you won't feel hungry. Don't listen to the nonsense. It's unscriptural. Jesus hungered. Very simple. And Jesus was hungry during his fast. The devil would have never tempted him with bread if he was not hungry for bread. Are you guys with me? So a 40-day fast, which there's some others which I'll get to now, but this one is called the Jesus fast, the ministry fast. Every 40-day fast is led of the Spirit. It is what we call a supernatural fast. It is God nudging somebody to do it. It is not you just deciding. There's a full nudging. You don't have to have a vision or anything like that, but it's like, it's so pressed on your spirit that you have to do this. It's not a thing where you just say, okay, I want to fast. So that's what I mean by that. That's your 40-day fast. So that's Jesus' fast. So this fast deals with, say with me, spiritual power. Victory over temptation of the flesh and the devil, and it works with ministry. So this fast will give a person spiritual power. It'll give them victory over temptation, flesh, and the devil, and it will usually shift them, if they are called into ministry, it will shift them into a realm of ministry, depending whether God's timing is right or not. So that's Jesus' fast. So the ministry fast. Number two is what we call the deliverance fast. So with your deliverance fast. Matthew 17 verse 21. Matthew 17 verse 21. Zedanos. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And we see the story how Jesus' disciples tried to cast out a devil and they couldn't. Some call this the disciples' fast. I like to call it the deliverance fast. They tried to cast out the devil and they couldn't. And Jesus came to me and said, hey, your capacity is not big enough. Because I just came out of a season of fasting. Your capacity is not. So you're trying to say, devil, go, and nothing is happening. The boy is just looking at you. But Jesus comes and with one word, he has the ability to cast the devil out. Because there's a capacity difference. Are you guys with me? Which means that fasting gives you a reputation in the realm of the spirits. Wherever you go, you carry authority, you carry a reputation. Fasting restores your spiritual authority. A 40-day fast is there to restore your spiritual authority back to you. Are you guys with me? So we see that this deliverance fast, Isaiah 58 verse 6 says the following. It says, is not this fast that I've chosen for you to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? So this fast, the deliverance fast, will take you through deliverance. It is of sin, of addiction, and bondage. Listen, when I'm speaking of the different fasts here, not all of them have duration to it. Is that okay? So the length is not really as important, except where the Bible does give lengths, which I'll end off with to give you the different lengths of types of fasting. But where I just give you like the John Baptist fast and so on, the Nazarite fast or the prophet's fast, it is not necessarily an amount of days. It is what the results and the intent for going into that fast and the results that took place. Are you guys with me? So what do I do when I fast? There's deliverance that begins to take place. I loose the bonds of wickedness. Also, this fast, deliverance fast, increases my faith. Are you guys with me? Increases my capacity. It breaks the power of sin. This is when people are struggling with a bondage or an addiction and they cannot get victory over that thing. You need to go on a deliverance fast. That means set days or however the Holy Spirit is leading me, but I focus on deliverance and my deliverance. What do? I go and read the scriptures. Isaiah 58 verse 8. I go and 58 verse 6. I go read Matthew 17 verse 21. The third type of fast. Say with me the Nazarite fast. Or you can say the prophet's fast. Those are two of the same. The Nazarite fast or the prophet's fast. We see John the Baptist. Listen to this. Luke chapter number 1 verse 15. Luke 1 verse 15. For he will be great. Say with me, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Let's change this word and let me show you something. Say, for I will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine. Okay, some are struggling with that one. I shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. I will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from my mother's womb. The Nazarite fast, which we also call the prophet's fast, a lot of prophets go on this fast. It is a fast that is a lifestyle. Are you guys with me? It is where people look at you and they continually every single day see, but this person is sacrificing a lot. Or they, some people let their hair grow out long, some let their beards grow out long, as they don't put they cut their hair, don't cut their beards, they don't wear sandals, stuff like that. We see this with Samson, we see it with Samuel, and we see it with Jesus. All three of them were Nazarites. Are you guys with me? John the Baptist as well. And they were given to as a Nazarite, dedicated to God's service. So a Nazarite fast is somebody that is 100% committed and dedicated to God's call upon their lives. They don't really worry about family. I'm not saying neglecting their family. That is not priority number one. And I'm really getting serious right now. They're not working. Is not that. It's like they just want God. And they are in ministry where the Lord provides for them. But they live a lifestyle of death, a Nazarite lifestyle. But it's also a lifestyle of no compromise. Are you guys with me? When people go on this fast, sometimes, I know people that will go on this for like 5 years, they'll say, for 5 years, I'm a Nazarite. I know people personally say, for 3 years, I don't cut my hair. I don't cut my beard. I don't watch TV, nothing. I am just in the Word, just in prayer. It is something that God calls them to. Are you guys with me? So this prayer will make you say, it'll make me great in the sight of the Lord. It will give you favor with God like you have never known. Can you guys hear me in the back? I just want to know. I don't have a reference. Okay. Does it sound like thin or normal? Okay. This is a fast that will increase your favor with God and your favor with men, but it's also what we call a prophet's fast. It's a lifestyle. So it's a lifestyle. The fourth one, let's get to the supernatural fast. I remember the first one was a 40, I called it a ministry fast. This one is also a 40-day fast. It's, some call it the Elijah fast. I like to call it a supernatural fast. Let me read here. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Discouragement. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back to him the second time. I mean, imagine, the guy doesn't even care. There's an angel. Just think of it. You're so discouraged. You've seen so much supernatural. The angel wakes you up, bakes you a cake, gives you a cake. You thanks, and you go to bed again. And you sit and you sleep again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So this is what we call a supernatural fast. It was an angel that introduced it, that gave him supernatural food. And he went in the strength of that food for 40 days, 40 nights. And by this we assume, as Bible scholars and so on, that he also went with no water, no food. It's just an assumption and an opinion and a thought, simply because of the supernatural food that he ate. Because Jesus went drinking water. Moses went without water and food. Are you guys with me? Moses was also supernaturally assisted and sustained by the glory of the Lord. So much so that we see that his countenance didn't even, his eyes didn't even go dim when he was 120 years old. There was a count, there was the glory of the Lord that gave him health and constantly kept in a place where he didn't need water or anything like that. In fact, for him, it felt like maybe 3 days, because in that realm, there's no time, there's no space, and there's no matter. in the glory of God is another dimension. Time disappears. If you're in a service where the glory is present, you can be in a four-hour service and the glory is so tangible and it feels like a one-hour service. Are you guys with me? That is how you supernaturally fast, so your body doesn't experience the long duration of time. So Elijah went on a supernatural fast. So this fast is for mental deliverance, but we can put this in a 40-day fast. And you have to have a very strong unction from the Lord, as I said with the 40-day fast with Jesus. It's for mental deliverance, mental clarity, emotional problems. It's for suicidal thoughts, depression, and discouragement. When you're discouraged, when you're depressed, you go on to this fast. A lot of people are like, I'm depressed, but they've never fasted. You know, most of people's problems will be sorted with fasting. Most of their problems, even health problems. It gives you, when you go on a water fast, it gives your digestive system a rest and a break to heal of certain things, infirmities. So the fifth fast, say with me, the revival fast. 1 Samuel 7 verse 6. So they gathered together at Mizpah. These are the Israelites gathering together by Mizpah. They were in idolatry and they came to Mizpah to repent. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. We went into idolatry. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. And then we see directly, if we carry on reading, how they overcame and had victory in the battle against the Philistines. And a national victory. And we see how this fast, which is a revival fast, is for revival. It requires a humbling of the soul. It requires a deep repentance. And it requires a congregation to do it as a corporate fast together. Are you guys with me? It is when people are bound by idol worship. It is when they pray for their nation. It is when they pray for a nation they are in. It is, and they can determine the length of time. But 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. He said, if they will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. So in this fast, I humble myself. There's no reason of fasting and you're still fighting with people. I've seen people like that. Even people that are close to us, they're on a fast, but they're still fighting. Their life is still exactly the same as if they're not. You might as well just have gone on a diet, because there is going to be no, there's going to be no growth. No benefit. Are you guys with me? The sixth fast is what I call the sacrificial fast. I'm not going to read through the whole scriptures for the sake of time. I want to finish the point. The sacrificial time. In 1 Kings 17 verse 9, you can just write that down. In 1 Kings 17 verse 9, we see how the widow was gathering sticks for her and her son, and she was about to die. And Elijah came to her from the brook of Cherith. And he came to her, and this, he came to the widow at Zarephath. And he said to her, listen here, she said, I only have one meal reserved for my son and I. We will eat the meal and die. And some call this the widow's fast. And he said, listen, give me the meal. And then you make yourself another meal. And already when he said it, he prophesied. Because she said, this is my only meal. He says, no, give me that meal, but then you go make another meal for you and your son. And his words carried power. But because she fasted, she decided to give food that she was supposed to eat, to give to somebody else that they may eat. We see in the book of Isaiah, verse 58, verse 7, it says, is this fast that I've called you not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wander the shelter when you see the naked? So this is the fast. So this is a fast we go into where I want something, I give it to somebody else that needs. These are spiritual principles. Are you guys with me? So we call this the widow food, the widow fast, the sacrificial fast, where I give something that I want, that I need, to somebody else. Number 7, the crisis fast. Say with you, the crisis fast. When you are in a crisis, are you guys with me? It looks like many people are sleeping. This might be boring, but just write it down. Say with you, the crisis fast. When you are in a crisis, when you find yourself in a crisis, there's a fast that you go into to bring deliverance. Okay, we see this with Esther. In Esther 5 verse 2, I'm going to read this. It says, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. Now you need to understand, anybody that appeared in front of the king unannounced or uninvited would be put to death. So Esther said, I'm going to stand in front of the king. And something made her or gave her the protection to stand in front of the king to deal with a national crisis they had at that time. And we see, if we go to Esther 4 verse 16, go gather all the Jews who were present in Shushan and fast for me, she said. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. This is a dry fast, a 3-day dry fast. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So this fast will do a lot for you. This force will give you protection from an evil person. It will bring you out of a national crisis. It'll bring deliverance from a crisis that you are in. If they are in a time of trouble, this force removes you out of the time of trouble. If you know you need to go stand in front of somebody, a lot of people do this fast before they go into a job interview. Are you guys with me? When you know you need to stand in front of somebody and you need to gain favor with that person. It's the Esther fast. It's the crisis fast. So the crisis fast. So how do I engage with this fast? It is a 3-day dry fast. The 8th fast is what we call the journey fast. So with you, the journey fast. It is the fast of Ezra. And this was done specifically for taking a journey. Are you guys with me? It's done specifically for taking a journey. So we see Ezra 8:21. Go to Ezra 8:21. In fact, this fast is not only for a journey, it is for a journey and to protect your possessions. So it's a very interesting fast, but Ezra 8 verse 21, it says, there by the Ahava canal, I proclaim the fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. So this fast is very difficult to explain. Some people might do a fast like this. They would fast before they have to make a journey, before they have to move their house or do a geographical change. And they go into a fast for protection. The moment you do a geographical change, you move into a place with different principalities. Now I'm speaking of those who are spiritual. Those who are not, they're just spiritually dumb. That it's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter for them. But those who understand spiritual things or whom has a call upon their life, and you have to be sensitive on everything that you do. I've seen so many people waste their calls away because they're insensitive about certain decisions. Where to live? Do you know that God has even allotted a geographical place for you to live where you're protected in? And if you move out of that place, you have to be so sensitive. When your life is dedicated to the Lord, it is with me very clearly, the Lord would tell us where to live, what area where to live. For example, we live in Centurion, not to move out of Centurion. You know, we live in Centurion. That is where our blessing is. If I would have lived in any other place, if I would have lived in Pretoria, I might not have been blessed. I'm not saying that is with everyone like that. It is just when you become sensitive to spiritual dynamics, locations, when you become sensitive to these things and to the voice of God, your life becomes a message. What you do becomes a message. And when you are in the prophetic, just even in the realm or the region that you are in, you have to be there because God has called you as a prophet to be there. 1 Samuel 7 verse 13, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. And from that day, they were subdued and they could not get into the region where Samuel was. So God takes His gifts and He puts them in regions. Yet there are so many ministers going to America and moving. I see them all the time. They plant their churches here, but they're actually ministering 2-3 months in America. And then they come back to their little church here that's suffering, starving, rebellious because no father has been home for 3 months, and then they go again, and then they go again until they get a break that side, and it's like, sorry South Africa, bye bye, you know, I've seen it with a lot of men. Even now, they are trying. There's a couple right now that is trying. When I say couple, a couple of ministers that is trying desperately to get open doors on that side. And for me, it is just, where has the Lord called you? Not where has the dollar called you? I'm speaking specifically for those who are planting church. Is that okay? Those who the Lord has given a church for. And I see them all the time, and they run to all these tours in America. And I'm speaking for those who are pastors. Hey, you're supposed to be called as a pastor. Pastor at home. When I travel very little. I was last week Sunday in Cape Town. That was it. And, you know, this year I'm going twice to America. Twice. And I'm only missing one Sunday. It's not like last year was just something very specific, but not so long. And that's it. And I think I'm going once to London, one Sunday, just missing one Sunday. And then all the other times I'm here. The only time I will not be here is if I'm in Cape Town, preaching there for our conferences or something like that. That's the only reason. But the Lord has called me here. And I have to feed the people. I mean, imagine if I'm not here, so many people will be taken out. I promise you. It's not because we are anything. It's because you need shepherds with the sheep. You need parents with the children. Anyway, are you guys with me? So the Ezra force will help you on a journey, but it will help you with a journey of God for your life. So a force assists you when it comes to your destiny and your calling. You guys have two wrong different times on there. I'm just letting you know. And it makes quite a difference for me in traveling. So please fix it so that I know which one is right. Yeah, you see, so I'm looking at the top one, which is four. So, because we go here on the minute, guys, believe it or not, like, I'm already way over late. So, the ninth fast, certainly the ninth fast, is what we call the health fast. The health fast. This is the Daniel fast. So, the Daniel fast, many of you know, I'm not going to explain, I'm going to read the scripture. There's a 10-day Daniel fast and there's a 21-day Daniel fast. Both of them gave them health, perfect health in their bodies. But one thing specifically, one of the Daniel fast, the 10-day fast, the Bible says that Daniel and his friends at the end of their fast were 10 times better than all the other young men in the kingdom. So when people go on a fast, it'll make you 10 times better than all the others. You will succeed. You will be ahead of those who are with you, whether it's in a workplace, in a job, wherever you are, in ministry, it will put you ahead. Are you guys with me? Let's get to the 10th one. Let's get to the 10th one. Zaron. This is the calling fast. So with the calling fast. This is the fast where God reveals to your calling. Remember, the 40-day ministry fast is to put you into ministry. But this is the calling fast that will reveal to you your calling. It is also called the Paul fast. This is in Acts chapter number 9, verse 9. Put it on the screen for me quickly. Acts 9, verse 9. You see, Rashad just going to have to speed right now when we go to Krugersdorp. And he was 3 days without sight. And neither ate nor drank. This is a 3-day dry fast where people can usually discover the calling of God in their lives. Now, I'm not saying this is as verbatim, that it will happen to you if you do it. I'm just giving you what the scripture is saying. Are you guys with me? And we're preaching out of that. And then we see what was the result of this fast. It was Paul's eyes were opened. His spiritual eyes were opened. This is a fast that will open your spiritual eyes. The moment your spiritual eyes are open, you know your calling. And I want to make it emphatically clear from here, because there's so many misunderstandings when it comes to spiritual eyes. You know, people that are online, people that are living far away, they can assume a lot of things. And they think that when we speak about spiritual eyes, we speak about third eye nonsense. No. The Bible is very clear on spiritual eyes. Very clear. It doesn't even have to be debated. When your eyes are open in the Spirit, which should happen when you get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are given spiritual eyes that might not be fully enlightened and opened. But when it is opened, you know the calling that God has for you. Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 17, that the eyes of understanding, by that this, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come upon you, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling upon your life. So the moment your eyes open, you know what you are called to. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, you just know, I am called to be a prophet. I'm called to be an evangelist. The Lord comes and ministers to you. He explains that you have a visitation of an angel or the Lord Jesus himself or a dream or a vision or something. But your calling is being revealed to you and your eyes are open. That's why you can see it. So this is a fast of a calling. Are you guys with me? So just to close off, I want to just give you the different types of duration of fasts. So we have a one-day fast, which is from sunrise to sunset. From sunrise to sunset, we see, this is in Judges 20, verse 26. For anybody that wants to go read it, Judges 20, verse 26, a one-day fast. Then we have a three-day fast, which is without food or drink. Now I'm speaking in scripture, without food or drink. We see this with Esther, and we see this with Paul that I explained to you now. Then we have a seven-day fast. We see this in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 31, verse 13, a seven-day fast. Then we see a 10-day fast in Daniel 1, verse 12, where I said to you that they were 10 times better. Then we have a 14-day fast, Acts 27, verse 33. Paul and his men, when they were on the ship, they said, let us go without food for 14 days for the protection of this journey. Are you guys with me? This was for the protection and wisdom in that journey. Then you have a 21-day fast. This is for the healing and so on. It's also for a time of mourning. And it is where you stay away from pleasantries or luxuries or a type of food. Yeah, and you have certain foods in the Bible. It's actually very clear on what they ate there and not. And then the last one, the seventh one, is you have a 40-day fast, which I call a supernatural fast. Why do I call it a supernatural fast? It is a fast that the Lord will lead you into. It is, you will feel a 21-day fast, you can just choose and say, I'm gonna fast now. But a supernatural fast, you'll have this very strong impression, I have to fast. It'll be so strong on you, and the Lord will whisper to you and will speak to you. You will know it is a 40-day fast. I'd really discourage people from doing it, because people die from doing it if they don't do it right. I've only done it twice in my life. And people die from doing it if they don't do it right. It's a very dangerous fast. That's why you have to have an unction to do this. And this fast will usually put you in ministry. It will usually be there for great protection, spiritual power, all those dynamics. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's stand to our feet. So this week we're preaching on fasting. Next week we're preaching on fasting. So I hope that when we get to our fast, that you will be encouraged or inspired, that there will be a passion put into you to want to fast. Are you guys with me? Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Father, I pray right now, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for the anointing. Let your presence rest upon them. Give them an unction of the Holy Ghost. Give them an unction of the Spirit of God to be able to sacrifice our lives to go into a fast when the time comes. We do it Wednesday or when the time comes before Pentecost, however long you want them to do it. But touch those under the sound of my voice supernaturally by the finger of God. Put a passion and a will and a desire in them for this fast. And let them go through this fast. Give them victory in this fast. Let them be successful. And let every intent, every purpose of their fasts be answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's give a praise offering, church.